What's up, everyone, and welcome back to New Release Reactions here on Cinemac Reviews. As always, I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases like Gran Turismo, beloved franchises, and even upcoming projects. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following it on all social media platforms. All of those handles can be found on either the Cinemac Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podchpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps the podcast out a lot, and I appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. To kick things off, let's head over to the new release report. Welcome to this week's new release report presented by Cinematic Reviews. Over on Netflix, we have Heart of Stone starring Gal Gadot streaming now. This is the newest spy thriller from the streaming service. On Max, we have Hard Knocks going on right now. This season features the New York Jets. New episodes air every Monday. Over on Hulu, Futurama Season 11 is going on right now. New episodes of that drop every Monday. As well as Justified City Primeval starring Timothy Olyphant is out now on the streaming service as well. On Prime Video, Good Omens Season 2 is out. All episodes are available on the service today. Disney Plus, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, starring Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, is streaming now, along with the first Amazing Spider-Man film as well. On Peacock, Wes Anderson's Asteroid City is streaming now, so check out that today. And then Foundation Season 2 is going on right now on Apple TV Plus. New episodes of that drop every Friday. On VOD, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, No Hard Feelings, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Disney's The Little Mermaid, Insidious, The Red Door, and Fast X are available now to own or rent. And then Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has been announced to drop on digital libraries on August 29th. No update yet on a Disney Plus date. Rumor is that it will be available on Disney Plus sometime in September. In theaters, The Last Voyage of Demeter, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Meg 2, The Trench, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem are all out in theaters today, so go out and check those. And then looking ahead, DC's Blue Beetle and Strays, starring Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx, are available this coming week on August 18th in a theater near you. And then next week, we have another doubleheader, Gran Turismo and Retribution, starring Liam Neeson, will be out in theaters next Friday. Followed by The Equalizer 3 on September 1st, and then The Nun 2 on September 8th. Well, that'll do it for this week's new release report. Come back next time for some more updates in the new release world. This is not a video game, it's reality. Gran Turismo is racing your way.
What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
Oh, shut up! I'm not missing my race.
Oh, I'm gonna puke!
Look at my dad's car.
Yes, we're not going to jail!
Oh, crap.
Listen, son.
You think you're going to play a stupid video game about cars and you're going to become a race car driver?
All I ever wanted to do is be a racer. I'm doing it.
The 10 of you are the best Gran Turismo players in the world. Now is your chance to race real cars.
This is insane.
It's not gonna work.
The guys who race are elite athletes. Your kids are scrawny little gamer kids.
That's where you come in.
So you think you can do the impossible? I'm here to prove that you can't.
You get tired, you get sloppy. You get hurt, then you lose races.
You puked on my lawn.
I know what I'm doing. I'm not afraid. I've raced this track 1,000 times in the game.
Let me drive it my way.
That was actually pretty great.
We have a newcomer this year. His presence is shaking the foundation of the sport.
This is the major leagues.
The other drivers, your pit crew, are going to hate you.
Much easier with a joystick, isn't it?
I can't see anything! I'm not sure if I can do this.
Most people can't. I got a feeling you're not most people.
I lose more than just the race. So I'm not gonna quit.
We've gotta prove to everyone that we belong.
You've raced it, what, like 1,000 times? Now you just gotta do it in real life.
Gran Turismo, based on a true story. But I won't stop
now. Gran Turismo will be released on August 25th worldwide. The film stars Archie Matihu as Jan Martinborough, David Harbour as Jack Salter, Orlando Bloom as Danny Moore, and Jaimin Hansu as Steve Martinborough. Film was directed by Neil Blomkamp, who is best known for District 9, Elysium, and Chappie. Early screenings have so far grossed over $10 million worldwide. The film was inspired by the real story of Jan Martinborough, a Gran Turismo player who became a professional race car driver. Jan Martinborough is actually Matihu's stunt double in the film, so that's really cool. Screenwriter Zach Balin cited Top Gun and Rocky as influences of the film. The Danny Moore character, played by Orlando Bloom, was based on Darren Cox, a former Nissan Europe executive who founded the GT Academy. And then lastly, Jan Martinborough was the third GT Academy winner back in 2011. So Gran Turismo is an awesome, awesome film. I was really excited about it ever since the first trailer dropped, and it didn't disappoint. It actually surpassed my high expectations for it. Neil Blomkamp, who is one of my favorite directors of all time, did an incredible job on the film. The cast was great. The action sequences are awesome. The cinematography is just beautiful. The story itself is really heartwarming, yet heartbreaking at the same time. Since the film isn't officially out yet, I won't break down the film today or really spoil anything, but I will give a short summary of the story so you know what to expect story-wise from the film. I don't want to spoil anything from the film because it'll help the audiences experience it a lot better. So the film centers around Jan Martinborough, who is played by Archie Matihu. Jan is an actual person. This film is a retelling of how he became a professional race car driver after dedicating his life to playing the Gran Turismo video games. I've personally played Gran Turismo a little bit, but I was always a Need for Speed Forza guy. Gran Turismo is a little too real for me. You have to really know your stuff when it comes to the mechanics of the cars in order to fully enjoy the game. After seeing the film, though, I actually want to go back and play these games. I'm curious to see how much I enjoy it now after seeing how the film presented it and how Jan really dedicated his life to learning the mechanics behind the cars, using the video game as kind of a textbook for it. I really love the decision to include a lot of the features from the game. Like putting the places over the cars during the races, and the tracks that you race on from the game are actually in the film. The filmmakers did an awesome job with incorporating all of those and making it a very enjoyable experience for the audience instead of, you know, annoying, which it could have easily been. It could have been a really, really cheap move. But I think the film did a really, really great job, and the film needed a director like Blomkamp. Blomkamp is a director with a very unique style. This film, I think, needed that style. Joseph Kosinski was actually in talks to direct the film back in 2015. He ultimately left the project, and that's where Blomkamp came in. Kosinski, of course, directed Top Gun Maverick, one of the biggest movies of not just the decade, but probably the century. Kosinski, I think, would have done a really incredible job on the film, but it would have been very, very different. I think it all worked out, though, in the end. Krasinski was able to make Maverick, and then Blomkamp was able to do Gran Turismo, which I think he did a fantastic job on. Speaking of Maverick, like I mentioned in the facts portion, there are a lot of Rocky and Top Gun connections throughout the film. For example, Jan is doubted a lot of in his quest to become a professional race car driver, especially from his family, just kind of like the Rocky character in those films. Was really doubted with his boxing career. Jan has to overcome a devastating moment in order to achieve his dream, just like, you know, Maverick and Top Gun has to overcome the loss of Goose in order to complete the mission. Those are just a few examples. There are a lot of actual quote-unquote Top Gun shots throughout this film also, except instead of planes, it's race cars. But there's some really, really awesome shots that are very Top Gun-esque, which I think was really, really cool. So if you're a fan of, you know, Top Gun or Rocky or the Gran Turismo video games or any part of the cast, you're definitely going to want to see this film. I highly recommend seeing it on the biggest and loudest screen possible because the cinematography and sound coming from the race cars and all that are just truly, truly breathtaking. I had a very memorable experience seeing this 2 weeks early on the Ultra screen. So that was awesome. David Harbour was excellent as Jan's mentor. Orlando Bloom was great as this douchebag-like executive who essentially pays for everything. He put on the GT Academy and kind of got everything going for Jan to succeed. And then Archie Mahu was fantastic as Jan Marnborough. I really liked him in the film. I hope to see him more in films coming out. And my dude, Jaimin Hansu, was awesome as Jan's father, Steven. I'm a huge Jaimin Hansu fan, so seeing him in this was just, you know, little sprinkles on top of the delicious bowl of ice cream that is Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo arrives in theaters worldwide on August 25th, so go out to your local theater that weekend and see one of the best racing experiences ever put on film, along with a truly heartwarming story about following your dreams, no matter how many obstacles are put in your way. Let's take a quick break before I talk about the video game to film trend in Hollywood right now. Check out the Fast and Furious season going on right now. Every week, I break down and review each installment of the beloved franchise. The first 6 episodes are out now, with a brand new episode dropping later this week. Join me as I dive into the world of fast cars and ridiculous stunts during the Fast and Furious season, only on Cinemac Reviews. Check out the newly updated episodes on the Cinemac Reviews library. I'm talking new music drops, new episode artwork, and film trailers. The Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones seasons have been updated, along with various new releases as well. More to come on the way. So check out the newly updated Cinemac Reviews library today on your favorite podcast network. So with the upcoming release of Gran Turismo, I've been really thinking about, you know, past video game films that we've had throughout the years. We've had a lot of hit and misses, more misses, unfortunately, than hits. But lately, it's been pretty good for the video game world. We've just had Super Mario Brothers come out this year. We've had a couple Sonic films in the past few years. Uncharted came out, which I think was more of a miss, but there were aspects of it I did like. Before that, we've had Assassin's Creed, Tomb Raider. We had the Halo series, Warcraft, Need for Speed, Mortal Kombat. Detective Pikachu was one of my favorites. That came out a few years ago. We've had Doom. We've had a lot of different franchises trying to make their world in the film industry. But like I said, most of them have been misses, with a few really, really high notes for sure. So kicking off, let's start with a more positive film, the Super Mario Brothers movie. This came out a few months ago this year. Previously, I did a reaction episode on that for the podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. I had a really awesome time seeing that in 3D. Had a lot of thoughts on the decisions that they made for it. But it was a really, really awesome film. This, of course, stars Chris Pratt as Mario, Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach, Charlie Day as Luigi, Jack Black as Bowser. So phenomenal, phenomenal cast. They did an awesome job with bringing the video games to life in animated form. This came from the Illumination, who I think is at the top of the animation war. I think they dethroned Disney for sure these past couple of years with their film. Pixar has been kind of on a downward slump lately with some of their films. So I think Illumination right now is the king of animation in the film industry. But before we had the Super Mario Bros. Movie this year, we had Super Mario Brothers back in 93, which was a Hollywood disaster. This was a year before I was born, so I didn't see it until a few years after it came out. But from what I understand, this was a financial disaster. It starred Bob Hoskins as Mario, John Leguizamo as Luigi, Dennis Hopper as King Koopa, Samantha Mathis as Daisy. It was, from what I understand, it was just a complete disaster of a performance. Looking it up here, it had a budget of about $48 million. I need to look up a box office number, but from what I remember, it can't be very, very big. I've only seen this film probably a couple of times, and I haven't seen it since I was very, very young. But it is not a good movie. The way they designed the Koopas was really ridiculous. I remember them being like really lizard-like versus the game. I think what they did in this new animated film was much, much better. A video game like Mario needed to be in animation. I think doing live action was a pretty big mistake. But I understand that, you know, some studios have to take risks when they bring these popular franchises back to life. But yeah, it's just, I think the Mario franchise as a whole just needs to be in animation, which was a smart choice. And then, of course, Illumination being at the helm of it helped it a lot. They, of course, brought us, you know, Despicable Me. They have Migration coming out later this year, which is really, really fun. So I think this film is when I get to my rankings, it'll be up there for sure. But this, everything just kind of fell into place for this one. There was a pretty great story. The animation was perfect because Illumination had done it, a studio that we all trust. It seems like Nintendo is really focused on making this a franchise in the movie world. So we could see, I would imagine this is going to get a sequel. You know, it's one of the, I think, two movies that have hit a billion this year. We could probably get a Donkey Kong spinoff. I got to imagine, you know, Legend of Zelda is probably going to get put into this franchise. There's a lot of things they can do. And thanks to the success of the film, I think it's safe to say that this will become a franchise. Speaking of franchises, we'll move on to another one, and that is the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise that is starting to get a lot of praise. I remember when the first Sonic film came out, that was a big hit back in 2020. It stars Ben Schwartz as the voice of Sonic, James Marsden as Tom, Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. Really big movie when that came out. I really loved it. And then, of course, it spawned a sequel, which just came out in 2022. That brought Idris Elba in as Knuckles. And then Tails shows up as well with Jim Carrey, James Marsden, and Ben Schwartz returning as their characters. But I really, really loved the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise so far. It seems to be that a third one is on the way. If you've seen the second one, you know that there is a post-credit scene kind of teasing that Shadow Sonic will be coming, which is awesome. I'm curious to see who they choose to voice Shadow. But yeah, this is a really, really fun franchise. I actually did a new release reaction episode on Sonic 2 when that came out last year as well. So go back into the Cinematic Reviews archives and check that episode out. I had a lot of fun seeing that one with my brother and sister in the theater, and some really, really awesome thoughts and on their decisions. But yeah, I think Sonic is another one, just like Mario, that is in really, really good hands. I believe Sonic was done by, let me look it up here. Don't remember off the top of my head which company did that. It might have been Paramount, I believe. I want to say it's Paramount did that. Yeah, it is Paramount. So they did a really, really fantastic job on that. Yeah, I'm super excited for Sonic 3 and then see what this franchise spawns as well. Maybe we get 4 or 5, which I would be totally fine with as long as the quality is there. Next, I want to talk about Uncharted, which on paper should have worked, but this was kind of a miss, I think, for Sony. This stars Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, Mark Wahlberg as Victor Sullivan, Antonio Banderas as Santiago, Moncada as the antagonist of the film. I think it didn't work. Mark Wahlberg has been trying to get this film made for a couple of decades now. He was originally going to be Nathan Drake back in the early 2000s, but then he kind of aged out. So then he just decided to play the Sullivan character. There are parts of this film I like, and I talk about this on the new release reaction episode I did on this as well last year. Tom Holland really looked like Nathan Drake, I think, from the video game. But I think the story they chose to go with was kind of bland. It didn't really grab the audience's attentions. It wasn't a very, very exciting movie, per se. I don't necessarily blame the cast for this. I blame the writing and kind of the direction that they went with. I think there's rumors that they will do a sequel, but I think with kind of the audience reactions to this film, I don't think it's really high on Sony's list of things to release, or maybe they decide to give it a few years and softly reboot it and go a different route with a different cast, which I wouldn't be surprised as well. It just seems that this one was kind of a miss. I'm a little more high on it than everybody else is, it seems, but still not great. But yeah, it should be streaming everywhere. So if you haven't seen Uncharted, go check that out and check out my new release reaction episode on that as well. Next, I want to talk about Assassin's Creed. Now, this one I was really, really excited about when it came out. But unfortunately, this is going into another tally in the miss column. This stars Michael Fassbender as Cal Lynch and Jeremy Irons is in it as well, along with Brendan Gleeson. They had a decent cast. Michael Fassbender was kind of the, if you've played the video games, he's kind of the lead avatar in this. They decided not to go with the Ezio route, which I think is a huge miss. I think they should have did you can just go play the video games, but I think having Ezio as the main character in an Assassin's Creed film would probably have attracted more viewers, especially fans of the video game series. Their decision to kind of create their own character in the world of in the world of Assassin's Creed, making their own character to become its brand new avatar through the Assassin's Creed world is, I think, it was a huge mess and part of the problem why this film just didn't work. On top of that, you know, the writing and some of the acting isn't great in there either. I know Fassbender is a really great actor, but I think he was extremely miscast in this, along with everybody else in here. But I mean, there's some action sequences in here that are pretty cool. There's some shots from the video game in there as well. But I think just overall, this is just a huge, huge miss for the video game world. And when this came out, everyone was kind of like, okay, we've had enough with video games getting turned into film. This just isn't working. But then, you know, Sonic came out and Mario came out, and they're like, okay, this is how we can do this. We can use animation in our favor to bring these characters to life. So I think maybe if Assassin's Creed would have been animated, or Uncharted would have been animated, probably would have been a little better. But I think franchises like that needs live action. I think the first big one was Tomb Raider, which I'll talk about next. We've had two different Tomb Raiders. We've had the Angelina Jolie led one, and then the Alicia Vikander one back in 2018, excuse me. The Laura Croft ones starring Angelina Jolie are what really stick out to my mind. I think she did a really good job in these couple of films that she did. She did Lara Croft Tomb Raider in 2001, and then The Cradle of Life in 2003, which was all right. I think the first one for sure is better, but still not great films considering what we've had recently. But for early 2000s, they did a pretty decent job. Had a pretty stellar cast in here. John Voight's in there. Ian Glenn from Game of Thrones is in there. Daniel Craig is in there. I haven't seen this in a couple of years, and I kind of want to go back and rewatch these, but I still remember having a lot of fun with them. Versus the Tomb Raider that came out in 2018. I honestly don't remember. I've saw it once. I own it. And that's when I last saw it. I didn't see it in theaters. But I don't remember a whole lot from it. I think this one was based off the newer versions of the Tomb Raider games. And then Angelina Jolie was based off of the older early 2000s version of the game. But I don't think the fact that I don't remember really anything of it, shows how uneventful this film is. And it really is. I'm glad that from what I understand, this was going to be their chance at a franchise. But it doesn't sound like they're going to move forward with Alicia Vikander as Tomb Raider anymore. I think they're going to give it another reboot, which is fine. But if we get too many of these reboots, it's going to start raising questions like, okay, maybe this is a video game franchise. We should just not make it into film because it obviously isn't working. So another one, Halo. This is the series that came out on Paramount Plus. I was super excited about this when they announced, but unfortunately when it came out, I was pretty disappointed in it. I think story-wise, it was pretty lacking. I think the fact that they chose to unmask Master Chief a lot in here was a bad decision. I think he should have just kept his helmet on. They should have went the Mandalorian route and just kind of kept him unmasked for most of the show. But when you have an actor like Pavel Schreiber, you kind of have to show his face. So they decided to unmask him a lot in there. And I think it was too much. The action was okay. I think the CGI was pretty lacking, even for a Paramount show. Season 2 has been announced, but with the writer's strike and the actor's strike going on right now, we're not exactly sure when that's going to get released, but Season 2 is coming. But hopefully Season 2 is a lot better, but I was pretty low on this when this came out. So hopefully they can get the Halo side of this film industry on track, because Halo is a huge, huge game. They're still pumping out the games on Xbox. It has a large fan base behind it. I am one of them for sure. I grew up playing Halo. I have seen a lot of the, you know, side animated movies and Red versus Blue and all that stuff. So anything Halo, I'm in on. But I was pretty low on this first season of Halo from Paramount. So hopefully Season 2 kind of gets the series back on track and grabs our attention a little more. Now, something worse than Halo, which is not an understatement, is the Warcraft movie. Warcraft is a huge, huge game. It's huge in my family, my dad, my brothers. I've even played it for a time. I have kind of phased out of the Warcraft world. I haven't played it in probably a good 10, 15 years, but it still has a huge, huge following. This film, unfortunately, did not work. I thought it was pretty bad, honestly. They tried to really franchise it. They kind of really swung for the fences with this one, and it just didn't work. I think the cast was not good. The writing was not good. CGI was not good. I mean, it looked like the game a lot. You know, the design of the creatures were pretty much pulled from the game. But I just think it was just a terrible, terrible movie. I think this is a franchise that they should probably not do the movie route or the TV series. I think it probably would have worked better with the TV series, considering the size of the game spanning from various expansions and all that stuff. But I think this is a franchise that they just need to leave alone and not try to bring into Hollywood, because I don't think it works. I can't even think of a good route to go with, because the game is just, it's different, you know, from Assassin's Creed or Sonic, you know, and stuff like that. I don't think Warcraft would translate very well on screen. So I think they should just call that film a loss and just not go back to to trying to make a film or a series out of it. Now, a film that I am honestly a little high on, and this is a hot take. I actually watched this before doing the podcast today because I kind of wanted a refresher on it because I actually really like it. I think it is actually a good movie. I have a fun time watching it every time. I know there's some flaws with it, and that is Need for Speed, which stars Aaron Paul, Dominic Cooper in there. I have a really, really fun time with this movie. I'm a huge Need for Speed guy. So when this was announced, I was super excited about it. I love Aaron Paul. He, of course, played Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad, and this was kind of his first big movie, trying to step away from the Jesse Pinkman character. He has been in a bunch of stuff lately. He was most recently in Black Mirror, so you can check that out on Netflix. But I think he's pretty good in here. Dominic Cooper kind of plays the antagonist in here as Dino Brewster. I like the car stuff in here. I like the action. I like the story. It's a really good revenge story, about, kind of avenging the loss of a really good friend. And if you've been listening to the Fast and Furious season on the show, I am a huge Fast and Furious guy, and there's some Fast and Furious, characteristics in this movie. So that's probably why I am leaning towards it more than maybe some other audiences did, because, you know, Fast and Furious has a mixed reaction when it comes to audiences when those movies are released, and there's a lot of Fast and Furious elements in this film, so it's not surprising that a lot of people didn't care for it. But I think it's actually a good movie. That's my hot take on it, but it's that one for sure. It's going to be a little up there in my rankings, because I think it is a really, really fun time. Next, I want to talk about Mortal Kombat. We've had a few movies on Mortal Kombat. Most recently, we had Mortal Kombat come out during the pandemic back in 21. This was released on HBO Max, and that's where I watched it, and then I eventually owned it. I enjoyed this new iteration of it. I played Mortal Kombat quite a bit. Not as much recently, but I have played a lot of the games, so I'm pretty familiar with the characters. We've had three major movies, I believe. Yep, we've had Mortal Kombat in 1995, and then we had Annihilation in 97, and then they've tried, you know, a series in there like Mortal Kombat Legacy, which was an all right TV series. And the 90s movies were definitely films of their times. But there are a lot of really fun elements in those movies. They tried to take a lot of stuff from the games and put them in there, which was really cool. But those 90s films aren't great. I think Mortal Kombat from 2021 was actually a decent movie. A lot of cool action. That fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero was pretty awesome. I had a fun time with the new Mortal Kombat take. I don't know if they're going to do more of these. I haven't really heard anything going on about it. I know there's a new video game coming out. They're kind of rebooting the video game world with Mortal Kombat 1. So maybe they're going to wait and see how that video game goes before pumping out another film. But I got to imagine that Warner Brothers is probably going to, if not do a sequel to this movie, but maybe try to do a soft reboot and try to just throw out installments. But I think Mortal Kombat is a good one to put in live action film. And I think the 2021 version proves that you can make a decent Mortal Kombat movie. And then lastly, I want to talk about one more that I really, really love, and that is Detective Pikachu. Super excited about it when it came out. Back in, when was it? I'm looking it up right now. 2019, starred Ryan Reynolds as the voice of Detective Pikachu, Justin Smith as Tim Goodman, Catherine Newton as Lucy Stevens, Bill Nye was in there. Awesome film. I love rewatching this. I hope to do this on the show because it is one of my favorite, video game to film adaptations. I think they did an awesome job with it. It sounds like they want to turn this one into a franchise, which I'm not surprised. From what I understand, a lot of people liked it. And I think they did a really, really great job with bringing the Pokemon world to life in a fresh take, kind of. But yeah, it's really, really awesome. They fight Mewtwo in here, which is really cool. We get to see a lot of other Pokemons from different generations come into the live action world. And yeah, I think Ryan Reynolds was great as the voice of Detective Pikachu. Not sure how they're going to do it with the way the film ended, with him going back into his human form and Pikachu not talking like Ryan Reynolds anymore. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do that. But yeah, it's a really, really fun film that I hope turns into a successful franchise like Mario and Sonic will. So awesome. So let's go over my video game to film rankings. So I've included the TV shows on this list because I do consider them as quote unquote film adaptations. I know some people only consider the movies a part of this group, but I like to include the TV shows as well because of the way streaming and TV are nowadays. It's pretty much in the cinematic world. So there are the shows in here as well. So I'm going to start at the top and work down. At number one, it's the Super Mario Brothers movie. I think that is probably the best version that we've had from video game to film adaptation. Watching that film really made you feel the nostalgia of playing those Mario games when you were growing up, and seeing them come to life on the big screen was just an awesome experience. It's one of my favorite theater going experiences for sure. I just think they did a fantastic job with bringing Mario into the film world, and I'm super excited for this to become a pretty big franchise as well. Number two, it's Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Again, similar to Mario, it's an awesome experience to see these Pokemon come to life that we grew up with. I think the story was really good. Ryan Reynolds was fun as the voice of Pikachu. He had pretty good chemistry with Justin Smith in there. Just they did an awesome job with this film, I think. And number three, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And then at number four, Sonic the Hedgehog 1. I think they improved everything that was good from the first one and just elevated what was bad in there as well. But these are really, really close together because I can watch these interchangeably. Did an awesome job. I love Ben Schwartz as the voice of Sonic. I think he did a fantastic job. Jim Carrey is actually really, really good as Dr. Robotnik. And then we get Tails and Knuckles in the second one. But yeah, it's just really, really fun movies. Great movies to throw on for the family. Fantastic job with bringing the Sonic world back to the film. Because I did grow up with those as well, along with Pokemon and Mario. So that was really fun, nostalgia-wise, to see Sonic come to life on the big screen. Then number five is The Last of Us show from HBO, starring Pedro Pascal as Joel and Bella Ramsey as Ellie. Fantastic series. Again, probably one of the best video game to film adaptations we've had. I've only played the first video game. I have not played the second one, but it sounds like season two is going to be focusing on the second video game. Not sure when that's going to be released because, again, the writer and actor strike going on right now. It's kind of put Hollywood in limbo, so we're not really sure when that's coming out. But it will be coming because season one was a huge, huge hit. I think it was really well done. There was awesome shots from the video game in there. If you haven't seen The Last of Us, definitely check it out. Not only is it a good video game TV show, but it's just really good kind of post-apocalyptic monster show for sure. And if you love Pedro Pascal, you're definitely going to love him in here. He was filming this during The Mandalorian. So, but yeah, this is really, really awesome. Number six, this is where I put Gran Turismo. Awesome film. I love this film. I think they did an excellent job with the cinematography and the cast and just retelling the story of Jan Martinborough. Fantastic film. I can't wait for you all to see it when it comes out. Just really, really fantastic experience. And number seven, Need for Speed. I talk about this a little bit, but I actually think this is a good film. I like Darren Paul in it. I like the car stuff. I like the revenge story behind it. It's really, really good. So definitely check that out. And number eight, Rampage. This is starring Dwayne Johnson. And yes, this was a video game. I had to look this up. Rampage was a video game, so I do classify it as a video game to film adaptation. It also starred Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Naomi Harris. Pretty decent film. This is about The Rock being friends with, I believe it's George, the ape, who kind of gets infected with this serum that makes him grow like 100 times bigger, along with some other animals like a wolf and alligator and stuff like that. So it's basically a monster movie. I like rewatching this. I haven't seen it in a couple years, but it is a fun movie. So definitely check that one out if you haven't. And especially if you're a Dwayne Johnson fan, he is pretty good in there. At number nine, this is where I put Mortal Kombat 2021 in. Like I said, I really was impressed with this film. It was fun and really exciting. And a lot of the stuff in the video game was in there. Just really, really cool. I like the cast in there as well. They did a pretty good job at bringing the characters to life. Number 10 is where I put Uncharted. Not a great film, but it's decent enough to be in the top 10 compared to everything else in this list. I'm a huge Tom Holland guy. Mark Wahlberg, I have been a little more lukewarm on. I used to be a huge fan of his, but now with the films that he's pumping out, I haven't been really gravitating towards him. They have pretty good chemistry in there as Nathan Drake and Sully, but I think I was expecting a little bit more from this, from the way Sony was advertising it and presenting it, but who knows? Maybe if they do a second one, they can kind of learn from this one and improve it more. At number 11, we have Lara Croft Tomb Raider, and then at number 12, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. I prefer the Angelina Jolie ones to the Alicia Vikander ones. I remember growing up, I actually watched these two films quite a bit. I think this was actually my introduction to Angelina Jolie. Then after that, you know, we got into Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is one of my favorites of hers. But I think this was Lara Croft was really the introduction to Angelina Jolie to me. So I hold these ones a little closer to my heart, but not great. Definitely early 2000 films. I am curious to go back and rewatch these and see how they hold up in 2023. So maybe that's a double feature I can do on the podcast. Number 13, the Halo series from Paramount. Not great. I was expecting a lot more from this. Pretty uneventful. I don't remember a whole lot from it. I do remember Pavel Schreiber in there. I remember Master Chief taking his helmet off a lot, which I really didn't agree with. I think they really should have went the Mandalorian route and just kept him a mystery underneath there, just like the video game. But there were some cool action sequences and scenes from the game, which were pretty cool. And I think the design of Master Chief was pretty solid. I think they did a really good justice-wise to what he looks like from the video game. So that was cool. Number 14, Twisted Metal. This is a newer one from Peacock. This stars Anthony Mackie. I didn't really play the Twisted Metal video game. I did a little bit. This is... If you go into this film not expecting a whole lot, turn your brain off and just accept that it's stupid and goofy, you'll actually enjoy it. I kind of enjoyed it. Anthony Mackie's pretty fun in there. Stephanie Beatrice is in there as well. She's pretty fun. They have a fun chemistry relationship going on in there. But yeah, it's an interesting show for sure. If you do have Peacock, definitely check it out. It's only 10 episodes and they're like a half hour long. So it's a pretty easy binge. Number 15, Hitman from 2007. This was the Timothy Oliphant one. Hitman is a video game series I didn't really gravitate towards. I have played a couple of them, but it's just one of those video game franchises that just never really attracted to me. I know my brother played it a lot. He actually enjoys these movies a lot more than I did, probably because he is so invested in those video games. But Hitman was all right. This was definitely an early 2000s movie. Timothy Olyphant, I love. He was pretty great in there. Number 16, this is where I put the Assassin's Creed film. Not great. But it's got some elements in there that I liked. Number 17, Hitman Agent 47. This was kind of their soft reboot to the Hitman from Timothy Olyphant. I actually rewatched these two films for the podcast today so I can kind of have it in my head mentally, but not great. I was not really into these films. There were some cool action sequences in there, especially Agent 47. They really went more CGI based with the stunts, and they went a little more Fast and Furious like to it. But I didn't really care for these, so they're towards the bottom for sure. Number 18, Mortal Kombat 1995. Not great. Definitely a film of its time. Even when that came out, it wasn't really beloved. But there's some cool fighting stuff in there. Number 19, this is where I put the Tomb Raider from 2018 in there. Not great. I barely remember it. Number 20, Mortal Kombat Annihilation from 1997. Just a really, really bad film. I remember the CGI being pretty awful. So that's on the bottom. Warcraft is at number 21. Just not a good movie. It's just horrible. No, number 22, this is where I put the Super Mario Bros. Movie from 93. Just a disaster of the film. Really, really bad. Makes no sense. Complete Hollywood financial disaster from what I've been reading. Just horrible film. And it would be on the bottom, if not for what I did put at 23. And that is Doom, which starred Dwayne Johnson and Carl Urban. Really terrible movie. I've only seen it a couple of times, and it was a long time ago. I'm afraid to actually go back and rewatch this because I remember it being just really, really, really ridiculous and bad. Rosamund Pike was in there, I guess. Totally forgot she was in there. Yeah, just a really, really bad movie. And that's a franchise I'm not really invested in either. I played a little bit of Doom, but not really. So I have no real attachments to it. But I remember that movie just being terrible. So that is my rankings of the video game to film adaptations so far. I will continually add on to these when we do get more video game films or TV shows. But yeah, you could check this out on IMDb and Letterboxd. Letterboxd, of course, does not include the TV shows in there. So that list will be a little bit shorter than this one because that's, for some reason, Letterboxd just doesn't include TV shows. It only includes movies. So that list will be a little bit shorter. There's actually 23 total so far. If I missed any, reach out to me and I will keep adding on to this list that I discover, because there might be more that I missed. I mean, I almost missed out on, Doom and the Hitman ones, because those movies are just erased from my brain. I just totally forgot they existed. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to adding to this list, because I think video games to film is in good hands now with the Mario movie and the Sonic ones and The Last of Us. We've been shown that video games can be done right when they get turned into films. So super, super excited for the future of the video game to film trend in Hollywood. Well, that'll do it for this week's video game filled reaction episode. There will not be a reaction episode next week because I will be on vacation, but new release reactions will return the following week with the 2-episode premiere of Ahsoka, the newest Star Wars series on Disney Plus. Also, check out the Fast and Furious season going on right now. Next up is Furious 7, Paul Walker's final Fast and Furious film. Later, everyone.